We just thank God for his work. There is literally nothing that we do that we bring to the table. God is searching for folks who have nothing, and they say, "Here's my nothing. Take it and use it for your glory." And that call continues to go out. God is looking for those who are willing to step in that gap. There's a lot of gaps in the world. There's a lot of gaps right here in America. You don't have to go to overseas to try to find a gap to fill in. We have communities. We have entire neighborhoods that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it starts in our own hearts. Open your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 8, if you have them. And I'm reading from the King James. I got this huge Bible that it makes my wife go cross-eyed because the print is so big, and on a good day I can actually read it. So pray for my eyes. As long as I stay away from the coffee when I have an empty stomach, I'm usually okay. If I drink coffee before I get any food in me, then I can't see anything for the day. But Romans chapter 8, we'll start in verse 1. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Here we see right out of the chutes, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There's the message of Christmas right there. Jesus was born, his name Emmanuel. What did it mean? God with us. This was the news that they were waiting for from the beginning of the world. Way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where the first promise of the coming Messiah was given to Adam and Eve after they sinned. It said, "The seed of the woman will come. It'll crush the head of the serpent, but the serpent will bruise his heel." And here Jesus Christ came in the fullness of time, as it was written, he came to do the will of the Father. And he was born and he came to this earth to set mankind free. And so we must come to him and accept his gift of salvation. You know what? It's amazing to me. Many times we can accept the Christmas story. There are many who don't. There are many who can't because they don't want to admit to the fact that they're sinners, that they have no hope of eternal salvation. But there are also those who are just willfully ignorant, who refuse to admit the fact that there could be anything like a virgin birth. You know, it's so simple when you realize that it is the very same God who spoke the world into existence. As I'm dealing with the Muslims in the Muslim world, they say, "How can there be a Trinity? There can't be three gods." I said, "Don't worry, there aren't three gods." They said, "Well, how could he be three persons? How can he represent himself in three persons? How is that even possible?" Folks, he is God. His ways are greater than our ways. If you try to map it all out, your brain is probably going to explode. There are things that we have to understand that God has ordained, that his ways are greater than our ways. This is why he's God. If I could explain God, he'd just be a really great being. But he's more than that. He is God. And he came to this earth to set us free. We see here that there is no condemnation. There is no judgment coming to us after death if we are found in Christ. That's where we need to be found, in Christ. The natural man. Ever thought about that? You see a newborn baby. My brother came for Christmas. I'm laughing at him. His youngest son is 14, and now what's that? 15. Okay, my bad. So his youngest son is 15, and they just had a baby girl born. Said, "All right, Scott, family number two, let's go." I said, "You better have another child immediately because she is going to be, you know, just spoiled rotten." But so he came, and I got to see her for the first time this week. And I was sitting in the chair, and he came, and he put her in my arms. And she's so puny. She's a couple of weeks. What is she? 6 weeks old or something? She's still puny. And I'm looking at this little baby, and I'm thinking, man, I don't even remember my kids being this small. They must have been, but I already told you, we were very busy during those days. But to look at her and realize that here is a child born into the world, but she has that very same sin nature that you and I do. And until we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we are born into sin and we are all lost. There's a time in our lives where we begin to understand that we are sinners. And at that moment, we better be seeking the Savior. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul had been working through these things, and in chapter 7 he was talking about the wickedness of the flesh and how he was trying to fulfill the law and how the law leads towards death, and that it was not something that could be completely fulfilled. And you look at this, you look at even just the Ten Commandments. Can we really truly fulfill all Ten Commandments? If you say that you are, yeah, I'd have to tell you, no, you're not. When it gets right down to it, we've probably broken all of them. And so we look and we see that we can never hold that standard of righteousness, of holiness that God demands. But when we're in Christ Jesus, that changes it all. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh, just the likeness of sinful flesh. He wasn't sinful. He had all the opportunities to sin like you and I. He was tempted in every way, in every manner that you and I have ever been tempted. And yet He withstood and did not sin. Let's read it again. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's something beautiful that takes place at the moment of salvation. There's a lot of things beautiful that take place at the moment of salvation. We are moved from death unto life. God puts His eternal life into us. See, Jesus was not killed by the Jews. The Jews are not Jesus killers. He wasn't killed by the Romans. He willingly gave His life for you and me. It comes right down to it. I was the one that killed Jesus because it was my sins that put Him on that cross. It was my sins. He looked and He knew that there was coming a day where Tim Smith was going to be born and I was going to be a rotten, filthy sinner. He said, I don't want Tim to die. I don't want Tim to go to eternity in hell. And along with the tens of millions and billions of others, He said, I'm going to go to set them free. He came and He lived a righteous life. And when He died on that cross and we put our faith and trust in Him, He puts His eternal life into us. It doesn't go anywhere. It's in us. Think about this. We rejoice in the name Emmanuel. What a beautiful name. God with us. After 400 silent years where the Israelites were waiting to hear from God, and John the Baptist comes on the scene and he's proclaiming, prepare the way, make the way straight, the King is coming. And he is proclaiming salvation that is arriving. And Jesus walks up and He starts His earthly ministry. Emmanuel, God with us. What a wonderful story. But when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, it's not only Emmanuel, God with us, it's the Holy Spirit of God, God in us. Folks, it gets better. Jesus came to dwell amongst us. The Holy Spirit came to dwell in us. And so now we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us if we have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. If we haven't, this is another reason why we're still headed to hell. Because the Holy Spirit of God comes into us. He is that seal. He is that stamp that holds us unto the day of salvation. Amen. And it doesn't get removed. It can't be repealed. It can't be revoked. I love telling Muslims. When I get to the Muslim countries, I get there and they'll say, hey, I've got an American friend. Would you like to meet him? I always laugh. I say, why don't you just tell him you have a monkey? Do you want to see my monkey? And I'll get there and they'll say, I have an American. Would you like to see my American? And they're like, you do not. And they say, yeah, I do. And so they'll call me up and I'll go and I'll sit at somebody's home and they say, look, he's American. And they'll be looking at me like, okay, so why is he speaking Russian? So I have to switch into English, and they say, well, I still don't believe you. So I pull out my passport, and they're all like, oh, he has a blue passport. There are passports that are various. They got blue passports, red passports, green passports, you name it. But I pull out my blue passport, and they're looking at that, and they want to see it immediately, and they're checking it out, and they look at the front, and they're like, he is American. They say, what's it like to be an American? How do you describe that? So anyways, I get to tell them, you know what? I have something much greater than this passport. I have another passport that's way better than this one. They're like, what is it? Is it Norwegian? It's like, no. No, I don't eat lutefisk. So they're saying, so what is it? And I say, it's my passport to heaven. You see, I have eternal life. Jesus Christ has given me his life. The Holy Spirit of God is that stamp that holds me. He is the one that keeps me. And there is coming that day when that is my passport into eternal life, into heaven. And it doesn't expire. Guess what? I spent the last 2 months trying to get a new passport. Why? It didn't expire yet. But you start getting around that six-month period, nobody wants to let you in their country. So I had to send it. What better time to send off a passport so that you don't miss deer season and Christmas? So I sent it off and stayed home for 2 months. I got my passport back. I'm ready, raring to go. January 18th, I'm in the air. Well, God's passport doesn't expire because it relies upon his name. God doesn't change his word. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't love us today, and then I sin, and he cuts me off from the family. That doesn't happen. See, God's family is perfect in the sense that he has a perfect love that he holds us in. We're not perfect members of his family. There are no perfect members of his family, but his love is perfect. His word does not change. I praise God that God is not Allah. Allah changes his name. He starts the Quran in one direction and finishes completely differently. He abrogates the Quran. Our God doesn't abrogate his word. The way it starts is the way it finishes. God is eternal. His word depends upon the sake of his name. He loves his name beyond all else. And so he wants us to experience part of that. He saves us. He places us into the family of God. And we don't get cut off. He doesn't adopt us for bad reasons. He doesn't adopt us to abuse us. He adopts us to show us his love. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, or minding the things of this world, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, again, this is the fleshly mind, the mind that this world tries to instill in us, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. But let's jump down to verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Folks, we've got the new year right in front of us. Many of us are thinking, if I can only change something in my life. There's one thing that we need to change in our life. It's how much control we allow the Holy Spirit of God to have over our being. We'll never be perfect while we're here on this earth. But we need to be giving control to the Holy Spirit of God. And when we cede that control over the Spirit of God, we are filled with the Spirit of God. He enables us to go forward and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world around us. And if there's one challenge that I have for you, the time clock of eternity is spinning so fast, so quickly. We are waiting to hear the trump of God sound.
Amen.
That time is coming. Are we going to stand before our Savior with empty hands? Are we going to stand there and say, I've done what I could. I wasted so many days, but I came back to share my time, my skills, my talents with you. And God will look at us and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of my Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you just be with us this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your gift of salvation. Lord, if there's somebody here this morning who has not trusted you as their Savior, we ask that today would be that day of salvation. We thank you, Lord, for this church here, for the light of the gospel of Jesus that's upheld in this community. We ask that you would be glorified in our hearts, in our lives, in our families. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.